beautiful day out, isn't it? It's gonna be like 73 degrees today. And we're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Now sing it with me.
We're blessed in the city.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the field.
Yeah.
We're blessed when we come
and when we go.
We cast down every stronghold,
every
sickness
stronghold.
And poverty must cease,
yeah, yeah.
For the devil is defeated.
Hey.
We are blessed.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the field.
Oh.
We're blessed when we come.
And
when
we go,
we cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease.
Yeah, yeah.
For the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
And late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. Hey, it's gonna work in your favor. Sing it and repeat it after me. Hey,
late in the midnight hour. God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Ha, hallelujah.
And late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
It's easy, just turn around.
Ha. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
One more time, sing late in.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. And for the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
Sing it again.
We're blessed in the city.
And we're blessed.
We're blessed in the field.
And we're blessed.
We're blessed.
When we go,
we cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease.
Yeah, yeah.
For the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
And late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. Hey, he's gonna work in your favor. Sing that again, say.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around.
Hey,
it's gonna work in your favor.
One more time, sing that again.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around.
And around,
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 and around.
Hey, we're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come, when we go.
Yeah, yeah.
For the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
Sing later one more time. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. I wish I had one or two people that would turn it around.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
This side, let me see. Hey,
late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. Gonna work in your favor.
That's pretty good. Now this time we know y'all can do better.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Last time.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around.
And around,
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 and around. Let me see your hands. Let me see.
We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease.
Why?
For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes, we're blessed, but it's time to bless God. Let me hear some more. Just a little more. Go ahead and plant your seeds. Let me hear some more. All right, we good. God is so good, man. Oh, my gosh. Now, we just worship, or we just praised God. Now, it's time to get into a mindset of worship by asking God, what can we do without him? There is nothing that we couldn't do if he didn't come first and do it all. Amen. So this song, it's just asking the Lord. It's just asking him, what can we do? All right, so sing it with me.
And tell me, what can I do? 'Cause I can't live without you. I can't live without you. And tell me, what can I do? 'Cause I can't live without you. I can't live without you.
So tell me.
Tell me, what can I do?
Here's my heart.
Here's my heart. And here's my mind. Yeah, I give you my soul, Lord. I need you to take control. Because I've tried it. I've tried it on my own, but what I found. Lord, I can't be without you.
I can't be without you.
Jesus. Oh, hey, and I'm nothing without you, Lord. Sing that again. Sing, I can't walk without you, Lord.
Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah, Lord. What can I do?
Cause
I can't live without you. I can't live without sing. Oh, whoa. Hallelujah. Sing it to our God. Sing, oh. Hallelujah. We're crying out to you, Father God. Whoa. Whoa. Hallelujah.
Whoa.
God, you're wonderful, you're mighty.
Hallelujah. If you just want to raise your hands in this place, just raise them right now. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to just touch each and every person in this place right now. If somebody needs healing in their heart, heal their heart, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you died on the cross, Lord Jesus, and that you have victory. And because of that, we can have victory in our own life. So just worship his name. He deserves the power. He deserves the praise. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to come unless we want him to. So let's just invite him here. Just lift your hands and surrender. Hallelujah, Jesus. The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. The ground began to shake, the soul was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome.
Forever he is living.
nothing else to sing, just sing hallelujah. When you send up your praises, when you choose to sing hallelujah, that's when your breakthrough comes down. That's when your freedom and your victory comes down. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're feeling. Choose to say hallelujah.
We worship you, Jesus. We lay everything else down, Jesus. What we're doing this afternoon, the morning that we had. And Jesus, you alone deserve the praise and the glory. God, we're not coming here on our own merit, Father. We're coming before you under the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for the honor of worshiping your name. Today, God, some of us need that breakthrough in our spirit. We've had loss, we've had trouble, we've had hurt. God, we need a breakthrough in our hearts. And we know it's that in your presence, there is fullness of joy. So God, as we sing this again with everything we have in us, God, I pray that the joy of the Lord will break through in this place. That God, the joy of the Lord will overtake people, God, that are struggling in their hearts and their minds. Lord, with the loss that they're having and the situations in their life, I thank you that you're going to break through in the name of Jesus in your presence. Come on, sing it with all you got. Come on, sing it, sing it, sing it, sing it.
We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh.
Go, 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 go.
Your kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Your will be done.
Roba, kalalabosha.
Here as in heaven.
We worship you. Jesus, we worship you. Come on, just lift your hand to heaven right now. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. He wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to build you. Some of you are mad at God, and God is saying, listen now, I can't help you if you cut yourself off from me. Lower your guard. I'll heal your heart. I'll heal your heart. I'll turn a bad situation to good for the glory of heaven. Hallelujah. Father, I declare healing in Jesus' name in the hearts and the minds of the people in this room in Jesus' name. Father, those that just aren't sure, I pray, God, that you'll make a supernatural visitation this morning and make yourself so alive to them that, God, they cannot deny that I've been in the presence of the Lord. Lord, we just want to say we love you. Thank you for the honor of being in your presence. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. We honor you, Father. We honor you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We honor your name, God. We honor your name, God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Sweet Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we release your anointing, God. God, come on us like a big old blanket. Just saturate us, Father, with your power and your presence this morning. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Yeah. You're awesome, Father. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Come on, talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. You might say, I've never done that before. Talk to him. Talk to him. He's waiting for you this morning in his presence. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you'll talk to us. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We stir the anointing, God. Stir the anointing, God. We stir the anointing, God. We stir the pool, O God. We stir Bethesda in Jesus' name. Stir, O God, with a finger. Bless your name, God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you that we can be in your presence. Thank you, God. It's not about church or religion, fulfilling an obligation. Thank you, Father, that you're alive and real. Thank you that you care about every situation of our life. And thank you that today we can literally come into the throne of God boldly. And Lord, we don't have petitions for you. We have love for you. And we honor you for all that you do in our lives. You're so faithful. Jesus, we want to recommit our hearts and say, whatever you want us to do in this life, our life is not our own. We want you to live through us. And Jesus, today, thank you so much for caring about every situation. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you say hello to three or four folks that you don't know. Don't be a snob this morning. Don't just sit right down. Turn around to folks and say, well, good morning. You look just marvelous. I love being in the presence of God. Come on now, everybody stand up. Stand up. Turn around to somebody you don't know and say, good morning. You look marvelous.
We are blessed. We're blessed.
it's gonna work in your favor.
Ladies, stop by the Ministry Center today and pay for your reservation for the Women's Brunch. The event is Saturday, May 7th. Adult tickets are $20. Children 6 to 10 year old is $11, and children under 5 are free. This is an awesome opportunity to honor the special women in your life. Stop by today and make your reservation.
I have an awesome opportunity for you to partner with Uproar Conference. We've broken it down. It costs about $50 per student, and we're so excited that you can play a massive part in this conference for years to come. What does that mean? That means $5, $10, $20 a month would be going towards conference to support a teenager. What you'd spend on Dunkin' one day, instead you're going to put it aside for conference. Everyone has an amazing opportunity to see a teenager's life change forever. So we would love to partner with you and your family. You can meet us right out front in the foyer after this service, and we'd love to get this started off.
Hey, HT, Randall here. Want to invite you guys out this April 30th at 7 p.m. to our night of prayer. It's going to have a time of worship with you. We're going to have a time of prayer, and Pastor Redner is going to be bringing an awesome word by the Spirit of God, so I cannot wait. But you don't want to miss out on this supernatural encounter that will take place in your life. 7 p.m., Saturday night, April 30th. We'll see you there.
Wow, that looked really cool. Turn that off. I want to see that again. I felt like I was in a moon. Praise the Lord. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. If you're a first-time guest, we are not going to embarrass you, but we'd love to celebrate you. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle, if you'll just raise your hand up, we'd love to celebrate you this morning. Ah, over there, very good. It's a young man back there, very good. Oh, my goodness, look at all the folks. All right. Very good. Right in front. Oh, right in front, I believe. Melissa, there's a couple right in front. We want to celebrate them as well. Anybody else? First-time guests? Anybody over on this side? First-time guest? His Tabernacle Family Church. You just want a mug. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Very good. Young lady, very good. Hallelujah. Another guest? Wow, we got a lot of guests this morning. And we want to welcome all of the guests this morning. Right after church service, we're going to go and meet. We have a guest reception. We'd love to meet you personally. And we have a little bit of food back there, just some nice, easy stuff, and drinks. And we would love to meet you and fellowship with you and just say hello to you, get to meet you. If you're a person that has been coming to the church but has never met us, we'd love to meet you too. So just come right on over to the guest reception, and we'd love to say hello to you and shake your hand, give you a hug on the neck, and let you know that we care and we love for you, and we'd love to meet you personally. Amen? I said amen. We also want to celebrate our online campus. There's at least 100 people watching online right now all across the nation. Why don't you give our online campus a shout? I know California texted me this morning and said, I'll be watching live stream, Pastor. So California, we know, is represented, and there's a whole group of folks all over. So we're excited what God is doing in the house. We just finished the Pastors Conference. Empowering Pastors Conference ended on Wednesday night. What a phenomenal time. Pastor Tommy Barnett was with us. We had Pastor Frank DiMaggio with us. And I just want to give you a praise report. Last year, we had three pastors that were getting ready to leave the ministry that after the conference decided to stay serving God full-time in the ministry. And this year, we had another gentleman came up to us after service and said, if I did not come to this conference, I was leaving the ministry right after this conference. So I want you to celebrate with me. That's four communities that now have pastors remaining in their area that are going to give the word of the Lord. So God was so good to us, and I want to say thank you for sowing. Thank you for being here. This is my beautiful wife, Rhonda, right? That's your name, right? Rhonda, we love you.
Amen. We're entering into the time of tithes and offerings right now, and I want you to know that God is interested in your money. Now, he's not interested in your money because he needs your money. He's interested in your money because you need your money. He wants you blessed in everything that you do and prospering and seeing increase. And just by being in this house today, you've positioned yourself for favor and blessing and increase, because the covering of this house is blessed. It sees increase. We see entrepreneurs start business. We see businesses expand. When they went down to Texas, one of the testimonies was there was a business owner that was discouraged, and she was ready to quit her business. And they prayed over her for expansion. And because of the covering of the house, the very next day, her competitor came to her and gave her the business that was her competition. Now, isn't that God? That's what God does in our lives. When we participate with kingdom finances, there is favor, there is prosperity, there is blessing, and there is increase. I can't stand hearing when people say that we shouldn't prosper, we shouldn't increase, because I don't know about you, but I open my Bible and read, and everywhere I read, I see him promise prosperity. I see him promise increase. Nowhere do I see in the Word of God where lack is a portion for the sons and daughters of God. He desires us blessed. Now there's somebody else that thinks your money is important too, and that's the enemy of your soul. And he'd love to keep you broke. He'd love to keep you in a wrong attitude towards finances. He'd love to keep you poor and in lack. But God's word gives us the principles for blessing, favor, and increase. And that's what we want to make sure we keep, a right attitude regarding our money and our finances. You say, oh, can we just get to the spiritual part of this sermon? Can we get to, like, that praise and worship was out of this world. It was awesome. Can we just get to pastor speaking? Can I just tell you something? Your money is the most spiritual thing that you have. Because the Word of God says that where the love of money is, every evil thing is there. So where the love of money is, so every evil thing. So where the giving of money is, every blessed and prosperous thing is there. God's word, he talks about money more than any other topic in the Bible. You can research it for yourself. He talks about prayer in the New Testament 500 times. That's a lot. He talks about faith 500 times. He talks about your finances 2,000 plus times in the New Testament. Out of the 36 parables that Jesus himself spoke, 16 of those parables are regarding your finances. So your finances are one of the most spiritual things that we can talk about. And God is interested in you being blessed, prospering, and having increase. Are you ready to give and participate with kingdom finances? Stand to your feet. What's that? Oh, yep. Before we make our supernatural declaration, this morning we need everybody to come forward. We have up front something for Pastor's sermon. There's seeds and a cup of dirt. You need to grab a cup of dirt and a seed. Everybody in the place, come grab it, because it will be part of the sermon. So whether you're giving or not, come forward and make sure you grab a cup of dirt and a single seed and plant it in your dirt. Let's make our supernatural declaration first. And it says in Deuteronomy 28, Cody's being greedy for the things of God. He's first one up here, not following directions, plowing down. I'll tell you again, because Pastor wants me to, one seed and one cup of dirt when you come forward. Let's make our supernatural declaration. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. Your seed. your seed and your dirt.
For the devil is defeated, we are blessed. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty in the seas.
Why?
Because the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go.
We cast down every stronghold.
Sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Whoa.
Wait in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. Gonna work in your favor.
Sing that again.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor.
Hey, yeah.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around.
And around, 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 and around. Well, yeah. And around,
and around,
and around,
and around,
and around,
and around,
we're blessed.
We're blessed in the city,
we're blessed in the field,
we're blessed when we come and when we go.
We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease.
And for the devil is defeated, we are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go.
For the devil is defeated.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold,
sickness and poverty must be.
Wow.
For the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. Hey, he's gonna work in your favor. Whoa.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around.
Hey,
it's gonna work in your favor.
Whoa.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around.
We're blessed.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field.
We're blessed when we come, when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease.
And for the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
Yeah. We're so blessed. Well, God is good, yeah. Oh, bring it back. Hey.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go.
We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. But the devil is defeated.
We are blessed.
Let me see your head. Okay, we got four people over here clapping. They getting it. I'm proud of them. All right. We're going to say we're blessed.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed when we come and we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. But the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
see if this side can clap. Let me see.
The devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good, and we're so blessed because of him. Amen.
Praise God. Did everybody get your cup of dirt? Glory to God. Well, let me tell you, if you were in first service, you got no dirt. We were behind on the thing. We're going to have a baby dedications this morning. How many of you love the babies? There's so many babies in our church. Could I have all of the families, the Combs, the Mayhoods, and the Cundys, please come forward? All of the families. Come on, give my hand clap. This is awesome. It's a great thing being part of family, isn't it? Young man. Cundy, right here. Praise the Lord. What a great day. Hi. You look so pretty in red. You really do. You're welcome. Is it weird being up here, honey? Yeah, I don't blame you. Look at the babies. They're all growing. Oh, my goodness. Hi. The only children that don't cry in this church are those who've been in their mother's wombs when they heard me preaching all those months in the mother's womb. They're not afraid of me. All other children, even my own, cried. I'm blessed today because there's nothing more powerful than baby dedications. Now, I want to remind you that baby dedications have nothing to do with the baby. Okay? There are different folks out there that teach if you baptize the baby, they're going to heaven. That is not Bible. That's good religion, but it's not biblical. The purpose for baby dedication is for the families. It's for the entire of the families. You're getting ready to dedicate yourself to be examples. Now, I tell you, the fastest and the quickest thing to do is run if you're not going to do it. Because this morning, you're getting ready to make a vow before God that you are going to invest in these children. Now, listen, the Bible says if you make a vow before man, before God, you've got to keep it. It's not a game. And so we want to challenge you as you're making this vow and as the church body here is declaring that we will be examples. Say amen. You know, there's nothing worse. I'll just say it. I remember one time I had a worship leader at one point in time who was buying porn. And he was out renting porn, and somebody came to me and said, Pastor, the Sunday school teacher and worship leader was buying pornography. And I said, oh, that's not good. You need to recognize that everyone's watching you. Well, I'm just somebody that goes to the church. But you'd be blown away how many people are watching you. You know, people are watching you because we declare that we know Christ and we're examples. Can I hear an amen? And so you want to guard your life. As the body of Christ, these children are going to grow up. You know what's amazing to me is he grew up. How old were you when you guys started coming here? He was 12 years old when he started coming to this church. 10 or 12? Isn't that crazy? He was one of these little kids running around. Matthew Mayhood, he was always a pain. You always had to grab him, snap him by the neck. But you learn how all the children are growing. I can't tell you how many children are in the church now that now have babies. It's phenomenal. What changes a life is how they're raised. It's how they're raised. My granddaughter the other day, I wish I had the video of that. I don't. My granddaughter the other day was walking around. It's on Facebook. Everything's on Facebook. She was walking around the upstairs of the bedroom praying. Baby language, tongues, whatever it is, whatever she was doing. And she was like really seriously praying. I mean, her hands raised and she's getting excited and she even shouted out one time. And you heard her say mommy and daddy. So she somewhere in there she's praying for mommy and daddy. Where'd she learn that? She learned that from mom and dad praying. Your babies will pray like you pray. Your babies will come to church as often as you came to church. In fact, usually a little bit less than you come to church. So we're preparing the way for the next generation. And these babies, I believe in God, will be the next ministers of His Tabernacle Family Church. Amen. Do you believe that? I believe. Amen. I believe they can be the next ministers of His Tabernacle Family Church. So I want to remind you where this dedication came out of. It came out of 1 Samuel. And Hannah could not have a child. And she was being mocked by the other wife. And she cried out to the Lord and she said, she made a vow and said, "Oh Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life and no razor shall come upon his head." What does that mean? She said, if you'll give me a child. Back in those days, if you didn't have a man child, it was not a good scene. It's not the same today. He said, if you give me a man child, I'll not put a razor to his head. That's called a Nazarite vow. That meant that there was a dedication to ministry. A dedication to serve God all the days of their life. It's a Nazarite vow. And I want to challenge you today as we make our vow before the Lord, as we pray over the children, that you will determine that you will be part of the example to make sure they know how to pray. They know how to love God. They're going to be consistent in the kingdom of God, and they're going to make a difference and be in ministry. Amen? So let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, these beautiful babies, Lord, I just declare over them blessing. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for being raised in godly families. Hi. Hi. I know. Baby girl. You know my voice, huh? I declare blessing over these children in the name of Jesus. Father, as these families declare that they will lead and develop these children in the love and admonition of the Lord, I declare, God, that they don't have to go and walk away from you. I declare, Jesus, they don't have to fall away. They don't have to struggle in their relationship with Jesus. I pray, God, you'll keep them all the days of their life. We surround the angels, release the angels now to surround and protect them in Christ's name. Lord God, that they will always fulfill the purpose and the destiny of their lives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we compel the parents, we compel the grandparents, we compel the uncles and aunts, we compel the family members that are standing up here today, Lord, to lay down all things so that the next generation can run with you. Lord, I pray, Father, we will be true servants before them, consistent people to show them the love of God. In Jesus' precious name, and everybody said, amen. Let's give my hand clap this morning. Praise the Lord. I have these for you. The combs. There you go. How are you? It's hard to see Kenny up here. He's never up here. There you go. There you go, young lady. And the Mayhoods. Very good. Can we give them a hand clap as they go back to their chairs? Amen. We have a bunch of new babies that just got born. What? What's that? No. No, they weren't part of the daycare. So I want to remind you, have more babies. No, anybody who wants twins will lay hands on you. Hallelujah. You're getting ready to have a child really soon, aren't you? Yes. Are you excited? Yes. Kayla had her baby not too long ago, and we had twins born 2 weeks ago. Isn't that exciting? So we're going to have to add another nursery to the church. Isn't that exciting? How many of you are excited about all the babies that are coming to the house of God? Praise the Lord. I'm going to preach really short this morning, only about 2 hours. You know, it's funny. It's the last time I said that, a bunch of people got up and left. I just chuckled inside. Okay. I was all ready with a message, a real good scientific message. I was very excited about it. And I got ready to go to bed last night, and the Lord said, you're not preaching that tomorrow. And I said, well, that's not good. Because I had all my preparation, and I said, what do you want me to do? And he wasn't telling me. I hate when that happens. And so when I woke up this morning, the Word of God was in my heart, and I believe without question, as it was already shown in first service, that there are people in the room this morning and people that are going to go through different struggles in their life. You need to hear this message. This is a message from heaven for you. Turn to someone and say, this is just for you. This is the year of... This is the year of kingdom seed. We talked about last year about Matthew chapter 6. The Bible declares that seek ye first the, doesn't say seek ye first the church, doesn't say seek ye first religion. It says seek ye first the, so if you don't know where the kingdom is, then how can you seek it first? So I want to challenge you on our YouTube, if you go to histabernacle.com, go to sermons. You can go to all the YouTube page. They're all for free. You need to watch the messages from last year. You need to understand how the kingdom of God works, because the kingdom of God is powerful. How many of you know that you're supernatural this morning? How many of you are born again this morning? Shout amen. I said, how many of you are born again this morning? Shout amen. I was getting ready to do an altar call. There wasn't that many amens. So here we are. I want to remind you, if you're born again, the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. If God's Spirit dwells inside of you, then you are supernatural. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, I'm supernatural. That's exactly true. You are supernatural because the God of all creation dwells inside of you. You have now become the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you today that you and I need to understand the kingdom. For when we understand the kingdom, we will be able to apply the principles. The number one principle we're talking about this year is the kingdom seed. The seed principle is that everything you need is in the... Everything you need is in the... Seed, everything. We started talking this year about how our time is seed. If you believe that God called you to start a business, but you never put any time in the business, let me ask you a question. How's your business going to go? If you say that you love this person, you say, I do at the altar, but you spend no time with them, what's going to happen to your marriage? I don't know. Some of you are still in it. How are you going to do in your marriage? Let's be real, man. You've got to spend time. Where you spend your time is where you actually have your priorities. God said that our time is seed. We also went through our thoughts and how our thoughts, as a man thinks, so he is. You are the compilation of your thought process. You are exactly who you think you are. And this morning, I want to just touch the end of that, and that is this, that I want to talk to you about a simple but very profound truth. The verse for the year is found in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, and it says this, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall fail. I said, whatsoever he does shall just barely make it by. Whatsoever he does, I don't know. I'm hoping it works for me. Whatsoever he does shall, shout, shout. I can't hear you, it's shout. You see, when you declare that in your spirit, as a man thinks, so he is. As a man is, so he speaks. You see, today what we're doing is we're installing within you the supernatural principle of heaven that God wants you to prosper and not just barely make it by. Now, I can't get into the principles of prosperity, but I want to talk to you today about this truth. You must believe that God believes in you. You see, everybody wants Jesus to believe in them. Everybody wants Jesus to wash their sins away. People want to be saved so they don't have to go to the lake of fire. But the truth is, we've got to also realize God believes in you. He believes in you so much that he sent his best. He not only sent his best, but you didn't choose him, he chose you. God believes in you. He placed you here at this time of history, at the exact moment. He placed you in this region. He placed you in your family. He's placed you because he planned you. You see, God has a design for your life. And today I want to challenge you on that design. Today I want to challenge you to believe the way God believes about you. I have no question in my spirit that there are many who are challenged with their worth. You see, our world today is very harsh. Our world today tears down self-esteem. Our world today says that you are not of great value. The world today, especially if you're a Christian, says that you are not a nice person or that you're a separatist or whatever they deem us as. But I'm here to tell you, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's time to shake yourself and start believing the way God believes in you. And that is that you are a king's kid. That is that you're an ambassador of heaven. That is that you're a king and you're a priest. That is that God wants you to prosper and not to fail. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Can I hear an amen? The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 14, I will praise you. He's talking about God. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. You see, today, you're important. Turn to somebody and say, you are important. Come on, tell somebody, you're important. Turn and tell somebody else, I'm important. You know, people have a hard time with that. It's amazing to recognize how some people will not turn and ever say that to anybody because they really do not believe, as you believe is how you receive, they really do not believe that they're important to God. They really don't believe that they're important on this planet. They really don't believe that they have significance. You see, their life and their environment and their situations have deemed them in a position that is not always favorable. And they buy that environment as their worth. But I'm here to tell you today that God says you have great worth. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, before I ever formed the earth, I knew you. It's time to recognize you are not an accident, but that you have been planned in the mind of God. Even God says, you're the apple of his eye. The word of God declares that God spins and dances over you. You are so important to God, and you need to recognize who God says you are. Turn to someone and say, I am marvelous. What do you mean I'm marvelous? The Bible says, marvelous are his works. We are his workmanship. Turn to someone and say, well, I'm pretty marvelous. Those that are having trouble saying that literally have an issue within their own heart of their own value. Well, I don't want to be prideful. How can you be prideful when you declare who God says you are? Pride is saying who you're not, believing that you are. True humility is declaring who God says you are and living in it. And the Lord says that you and I are his workmanship. He says, marvelous are the works of God. You see, today you are marvelous. Today you are magnificent. Today you have been fearfully and you are wonderfully made. Today you are not an accident. Today you are God's plan. Today you are God's destiny. Today he is so passionate over you and loves you with an everlasting love. He will never turn from his love for you. He desires you. He wants to walk with you and talk with you and fulfill his design in your life. You are imperative to the plan of God. The Bible says that you are perfectly designed. You know what's amazing is that a lot of people try to change who they are. And it's because we're trying to match up what others think we should be. Let me say that one more time. Some of us try to change who we are to please others and what they think we should be. I want you to know today that God's plan for your life is clear and clean. You don't have to wonder, because you are not like anybody else on this entire planet. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, then God said, let the earth bring forth its grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. Shout it out loud. Whose seed is in itself. On the earth. And so it was. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. What's amazing is that every seed encapsulates its own DNA. It's amazing to recognize that when you plant a piece of corn, a corn seed, you expect to get a... In fact, what's amazing is it really doesn't matter if you plant it next to peas. A corn seed is diverse in itself, and it will reproduce after its own kind. So therefore, the DNA of that corn is within that seed. And when it is planted properly, it will always bring forth fruit. It is such a powerful reality. And God wants you to recognize today that you are the seed of heaven. Jesus Christ came and died on an old rugged cross. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that seed... You that is in the mind of God, in the heart of God, when we plant ourselves properly, the DNA, you see, so many of us, we fixate on our past. So many of us have identified ourselves from our past. God is saying that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, when you got saved, your seed, your life, was moldy and really good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men. But when you got born again, you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that seed was revitalized. And God's plan for your life is imperative to be followed through with, because you're a person of great destiny. And His plan for you is magnificent, because you are marvelous. Psalms 139 verse 13 says this, oh yes, you shaped me first inside and then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how it was sculpted. Oh, I love that part. How it was sculpted. From nothing into something. You see, today, you are beautiful. When God looks at you, He smiles. He says, it doesn't matter what everybody else says about you. It matters what I say about you. It doesn't even matter the environment or the situations in the community that you're part of. What matters is what I say. We've got to start believing what the Father says about us, because He truly believes in us. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14, it says this, I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant or not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all about the different but similar parts arranged in functioning together. If the foot says, I'm not elegant like the hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to the body, would that make it so? And we know that's not true. If the ear says, I'm not like the eye, and expressive, I don't deserve to be in my head, would you want to remove it from your body? No. If the body was all eye, how could we hear? If all hear, how could we smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where He wants. See, today, there's nobody like you on this planet. You are unique. Why don't you turn to someone and say, you are very unique. How many of you really are kind of unique? All right, how many of you are just dead right strange? The Bible calls you peculiar. You're not like anybody else on this planet. God so designed you. He meticulously designed your life. He put the gifts within you. He knew what you, how high you were going to, how tall you were going to be, the color hair you were going to have. He knew. And so many of us are at this place where we just don't accept who God says we are. And what that does is that disembowels us from the opportunity of truly fulfilling the design of heaven, because we don't believe who God says we are. Therefore, we are powerless. For as a man thinks, so he. We've got to start believing who God says we are. It's not prideful to believe who God says you are. It is true humility to walk in the reality of the great, great, perfect creation and design that God has for you. I just want to show you something that's really cool. I want to show you a keynote presentation. And I think that you'll see what I'm talking about. It's, again, Kingdom Seed. Very good. I want you to see this seed. The first seed is this. This is a mustard seed. It's considered one of the smallest seeds. But when that mustard seed is planted in good ground, it brings forth a tree. The Bible says that tree feeds people. Come on now, oil. The Bible also says it houses the birds. It is a place of protection. I want you to see that every creation that God has meticulously made has a divine purpose behind it. The next seed is amazing. It's called an apple seed. How many of you have ever eaten an apple before? How many of you have ever eaten a seed before? In my family, we always said that now you have an apple tree growing in your stomach. You know, I'm sure the DNA that's in that apple, you didn't sit down when you were planted the apple and cut the seed in half and said, "Let me see the DNA." No, when you grabbed a hold of that apple and you decided to plant that seed, you planted it with understanding, you planted it in good ground, you protected it as it started to sprout, you made sure that the deer didn't come and clip the top off. Can I hear an amen? You made sure that it was able to grow into and produce great fruit. The next one is called the corn seed. How many of you have ever seen a corn seed? In fact, some of you got the corn seed this morning. How many of you got a corn seed? Raise it up. Isn't it interesting? The corn seed. One seed can produce over 830 kernels. One seed has the ability to produce on one ear 830 kernels. It is magnificent to realize that God believes in himself. God said a seed will prosper. And every seed that God has in the garden will always produce fruit. We must recognize that the purpose that God has for us is not just to sit down and suck air and to go to religious service once a week and to do our nice little religious thing, but God has called us to produce fruit. And in that fruit is the DNA, for all DNA reproduces in itself. I'm here to tell you today that you are a purpose plan of God, that you are meticulously designed by heaven itself, and the DNA that you have inside of you, God wants to reproduce. The next one is called the banana seed. How many of you have eaten a banana? How many of you picked up a banana and you looked at it and you said, let me extract the seeds? I didn't think so. Bananas. How many of you like bananas? Me too. The next one's grass seed. How many of you got brown grass in your yard still? How many of you got nice, luscious green grass in your yard still? You know, it's amazing that when you take grass seed, we had to replace our septic system a few years ago, probably 4 years ago, and our whole yard was just mud. So we had it all rolled out smooth and everything like that. And then I went out and got grass seed. And I went out and I bought a specific type of grass seed. And I spread it all over my yard. I want you to know today that my yard is not mud. My yard is not brown. But my yard is green. Why? Because seed reproduces itself because the DNA is inside it. I'm here to tell you today that the grass does not need to be told to grow. It grows automatically because of the life that's in the seed. The next one's a burning bush. Has anybody ever seen the burning bushes? They are my favorite bush. They're really not pretty during the summertime, but when fall comes, they just erupt like the burning bush. I just love the way they look. They're small seeds. They're nothing major. How about the next one? The next one is an oak tree seed, which is called an, where is it? Acorn. Where's the acorn? There you go. Stay with the program. Sometimes they go up there and they talk. They just sit back and fellowship with each other. The acorn that's planted produces what? It produces a oak tree, which is amazing. Why is it amazing? How many of you have ever sat under an oak tree? How many of you have ever tied a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree? No. Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Okay. How many of you ever had a swing in the oak tree? How many of you ever had a tree house in an old oak tree? I'm talking oak trees are amazing. How many? No, we had an oak tree, and I had a bird mess on me from the oak tree. That did not go over well. It's amazing to recognize that each seed is diverse, and each seed is different, but each seed produces of its own kind. Here's the next one. Ready? How many of you love raspberries? Jesus is good. Hallelujah. I love raspberries. I love sitting down, and my wife buys the big ones, you know, and I sit down, and that's my snack for the evening. And I don't know how many calories are in there. It doesn't really matter. They taste amazing. I love the fact that seeds always produce themselves. And today I want to just challenge you. If God can fearfully and wonderfully made, and God can uniquely make every single seed and reproduce itself within itself, because the DNA, the life is in the seed, what more can God do with you, who is a son and daughter of the Most High King? You are not some weak, pathetic Christianette hoping to make it by on the eastern sky, but you're a son and daughter, and it's time to rise up, and it's time to start walking in authority, time to start walking in power. It's time to fulfill God's purpose for your life. What's amazing is how unique this is that we showed all of those pictures. And what's amazing to me is how many, do you realize that there are three different types of mustard seeds? Do you realize there are 7,500 different types of apple seeds? There are 6 types of corn seeds. 1,000 types of banana seeds. 11,369 types of grass seeds, 5 different burning bush seeds, 600 different types of oak tree seeds, and 4 different types of raspberry seeds. You know what that shows? Is that God made you just perfect. Because if he's willing to bring diversity in something that cannot do anything for him, what is he going to do in you, who he's made as the apple of his eye? Come on now, turn to someone and say, you're pretty special, aren't you? God makes humans so different. You ever think about Peter? Peter, the disciple of Jesus, had what we call foot-mouth disease. No, I'm wrong. Peter had stomach mouth disease. His foot was so far down his throat, it was tickling the bottom of his stomach. That guy had serious issues. In fact, what was amazing about Peter is one minute we find Peter sitting back and Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ. I don't think he went, thou art the Christ. I think he went, thou art the Christ. Come on now, you guys work with me now. Are you ready? You got to try that, the Christ part. Ready? Thou art the We can take you through preaching class. That's all right. Ready? Thou art the Christ. Come on, you got to get it up there. Ready? Thou art the Christ. Wow, that's pretty good. Watch now. The next chapter, the same dude. He says, Jesus says, well, I'm going to go die. And he says, you'll never die. I'll make sure and I'll kill anybody. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. So one chapter, thou art the Come on, you're getting weak now. Thou art the And the next chapter, we find Peter, Jesus telling him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter had issues. But Peter allowed God to work on his character. And so much so that Peter, in the DNA and in the maturation of the seed, we find that Peter was the one who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the gospel of Jesus. And that day the church began, because upon this rock I will build my kingdom. And 3,000 men got saved that day, and the church began. Can I hear an amen? Andrew was a totally different kind of guy. He was a quiet dude. He was the behind-the-scenes guy. Anybody know somebody that the behind-the-scenes guy? Don't want anybody to notice them. The behind-the-scenes guy. But Andrew was so powerful that when he was being crucified, he led the soldier that crucified him on the tree to Jesus. How about Paul? Paul the apostle was a short, fat, bald guy. No, he wasn't this 6'9", 58-inch shoulders, perfect V shape, with a big bush of hair on his head. No, he was a short, fat, bald guy who was really learned. He was very intelligent. But you know, Paul, that day, he was so passionate, he would go and persecute Christians. And one day, on his way to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, that he met Jesus on the road to Damascus in a very precarious way. And that day, he got up and he started serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That day, his life transformed. That day, yes, he still remained passionate. Yes, he was still Paul. But what God did within him used him so powerfully that 13 books out of the New Testament were written by Paul the Apostle. How about me? I'm a quiet, low energy. I would be considered possibly outspoken. A little irritating at times. Energetic, fun loving. A fantastic singer. But I'll be honest with you, when I went to Bible school, they literally placed bets how long it would take me to get kicked out. When people found out I went to Bible college, they were, "What? Him?" When I went to Bible college, I didn't get kicked out almost twice, but I didn't. And when I graduated Bible college, you know how they have, like, the one that figure is going to be like the kingpin in the class? 84 of us went to Bible college, 42 of us graduated, and only 6 of us are left in the ministry. No one ever thought Spencer would ever be in Horseheads, New York. And that God would do what he's doing in the middle of a cornfield. But you see, we never see ourselves the way God sees us. We never see where God is always taking us. But one thing is for sure, when we surrender our life, which is the seed in the ground of God, God can take us places we have never even fathomed or thought about. God has great plans for your life, no matter how old or how young. Your life is not over because you still have breath. And God's plan will maturate, mature, develop within your life because he is a God of destiny. And you're still breathing because yours is not done. We're all so different. But because of our diversities, it makes us one body. You might not be quiet like me or as good of a singer as I am. But without question, the gifts that you have, I'll just show you one. Watch this. Dude, go do a breakdance thing. Do it up on top so everybody can see you. Watch this. Now watch, I can do that. If I want to go to the emergency room. But the fruit he's going to produce is going to be different from the fruit I produce. I'm not better than him, and he's not better than me. But we do have the same DNA. And that is our job, is to produce fruit, and that the fruit will remain. You see, today you're so important. I don't care what anybody has said about you. They're lies. They're lies. I don't care what your mama or your daddy said. I don't care what your boyfriend or your girlfriend said. I don't care what your husband or wife said. This one thing I know, who God says you are. And you are imperative to the plan of heaven. And you are so perfectly and you are so wonderfully. You are so meticulously made. You are the handcrafting of God himself. Oh, I wish sometimes he made me thinner. I wish sometimes maybe I was a little bit taller, but I'm not. Why? Because that's not what his plan was. He wanted a shorter, non-bald, getting there. They make wigs. Yes, they do. Or hair club for men. Hallelujah. But the fact is that I'm not you and you're not me. But baby, you are so important. Don't ever compare yourself to somebody else. God didn't make you like them. He made you you. And he smiles at you. And he says at his creation, watch, if he can say about a seed of grass, that was good. What does he say about you? That was good. Bow your heads with me this morning. There are people in the room. Some people won't admit it. Some smile a lot. But inside, they're very wounded. And today, God wants you to know that you don't have to fake it anymore. You can be healed inside. You can be food for somebody. You can be shade for somebody. You can be a house and protection for somebody. You can smell great, like, oh my goodness, I just love flowers. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't have a religion for you. I don't have a church for you to join. We don't have a membership here. We did that on purpose. I have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And before you were ever formed on this earth, before he ever said, let there be light, and there was, he planned your life. And he knew today you'd be sitting in this room. Not an accident. You're God's plan. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, no, I'm not saying you don't believe in God, but you've never made him your Lord and Savior. You've never given him your life and said, my life is not my own, Jesus. Live any way you want through me. I need my sins forgiven, washed away, and I want my purpose to start today. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. Come on, raise your hand up right now if you want Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you over on that side. Is there anyone else? Come on, now you can put your hands right back down. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, thank you. 2, last call. Thank you. Thank you, young lady. Sir? Ma'am? Anybody else? Well, you know, that was pretty manipulating. Let me tell you something. You need to figure this out. Because the way you've been living in your life isn't leaving a mark for anybody to follow. Better follow Jesus quick. Or the seeds that you leave for the next generations will produce rotten fruit instead of a healthy tree that will prosper. Can I hear an amen? Last call. Anybody else? Get your hand up. You want Jesus as your Savior. Let's all stand to our feet. If you raise your hand to give your heart to Jesus, I want you to be brave now. Grab the person next to you and meet me right up here right now. Come right out of your chair right now. Meet me right in the front. Come on, give my hand clap as they come. Give my hand clap as they come. Come on, come right out of your chair. Come right up front. Oh, I didn't know I was going to have to do that. This is where the Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. This is an outward proclamation. Come on up. This is your time. This is your season. God's going to change your life forever starting today. Amen. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. I'm so proud of you guys. Sir, guys. What a great day. I'm so proud of you. That's good. That's good because he wants Jesus. And I'm so glad you brought with him. Is there anybody else? You just want to grab your friend and make your way on up. This is your moment. Do you remember there are seasons to plant and a season to harvest? This is your season to plant. Plant your life. I'm going to have the prayer team come on up on this side real quickly. Today, if you're out there and you're saying, I feel worthless, this is not, you know what? It's not weak if you admit that. It's strong if you admit that. I feel worthless and I need God to rebuild me inside. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand up today. You want prayer for what we talked about. You need to have the uniqueness of God's blessing in your life. Thank you, ma'am, in the back. Is there anyone else? Thank you over on that side. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Is there anyone else? Come on. Great worth. Great worth. Great worth. Great worth. Great worth. You are great worth. Amen.